This is the CBS World News Roundup. Rams do it. Hold off the Titans' last play effort to take Super Bowl 34.
We're the world champs. We're number one. Right now, this is our moment.
I'm Peter Haskell in Albany, New York, where jury selection begins in the controversial police shooting of an unarmed man in New York City.
Checking on a key voting block. I'm Peter Mayer in Hooksett, New Hampshire.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Christopher Glenn, CBS News. Thriller in Atlanta as the St. Louis Rams staged a last play stand to preserve a 23-16 Super Bowl win over the Tennessee Titans. CBS Radio Sports' Howard David as the time ran out.
The clock strikes 000. Kevin Dyson caught the ball and Mike Jones made the tackle at the one-yard line to preserve a win for the St. Louis Rams in Super Bowl 34.
The fans poured into the streets to celebrate the first St. Louis Super Bowl victory.
Oh, my God, we're going crazy out here!
Crazy!
I think it's a dream right now. If it's a dream, I'm enjoying it right now, and I don't want it to stop.
CBS News reporter Peter King in Atlanta has the morning after story.
It was an amazing game, one of the best Super Bowls ever, says Rams coach Dick Vermeil.
We made some plays, they made some plays. We got worn down, they were worn down. Just, it was a battle.
Just a couple years ago, Rams quarterback Kurt Warner was bagging groceries and playing arena football. Now he's the Super Bowl's MVP.
This is where I've always wanted to be. This is where I always ended up in my dreams. And I kept believing, I kept hoping. It's the best feeling I've ever had in the sport of football.
Warner put it away with a 73-yard touchdown pass late in the game. The Titans' last drive fell just short. Coach Jeff Fisher.
We're going to build from this, and we're going to improve this football team. And, we're going to find out what kind of team we are, because I expect us to be back.
Peter King, CBS News, Atlanta.
A sleety storm, the latest winter woe for the winter-weary East Coast. Hundreds of thousands of homes and businesses lost electricity in North Carolina, Maryland, and Virginia. Virginia Power's Dan Jeunesse says most of the outages were in the Richmond area.
It was almost virtually all ice. And what happened was the ice came down. We have a lot of pine trees in this area. The ice weighted down those pine trees and knocked them across our lines.
The same storm earlier had dumped more than a foot of snow in parts of Mississippi and turned Atlanta streets into icy toboggan chutes. The FCC is hearing about all those ads for cheap long-distance calls that may not really be so cheap.
The TV ads sound great.
Call now and get an hour every Sunday night for the next 6 months, up to a $78 value free.
But David Butler at Consumers Union says it's not always what it seems.
Before you make your first phone call, you often have to pay a stack of access fees.
Which could cancel out any savings unless you make lots of calls. The FCC today being pressed with a plan to close the digital divide to force long-distance savings regardless of the number of calls you make. Lou Maligano, CBS News, New York.
Trial getting underway in Albany, New York. Four police officers charged in the shooting death of an unarmed man they thought was a rape suspect. WCBS reporter Peter Haskell's covering.
Jury selection begins this morning, but there will likely be more action outside the courthouse. Hundreds of protesters led by the Reverend Al Sharpton are expected to raise their voices in seeking justice for Amadou Diallo. Diallo was unarmed when he was killed by four New York City cops who fired at him 41 times. The case was moved here from the Bronx to assure the officers get a fair trial. Prosecutors in Sharpton contend the killing was unjustified. The defense counters, saying the officers feared for their lives and trying to question Diallo about a series of rapes. Peter Haskell, CBS News, Albany, New York.
Jury selection gets underway in Cleveland today as Sam Reese Shepard tries to clear his late father's name. It's a wrongful imprisonment suit involving the 1954 case in which Dr. Sam Shepard was convicted of murdering his wife in her bedroom, a case that inspired the Fugitive TV series and movie. Lots of New Hampshire voters still undecided the day before they vote in the first-in-the-nation primary elections tomorrow.
Still totally undecided. It's either going to be Bradley or McCain.
Trying to decide between Mr. Bush and Mr. Forbes.
I haven't made up my mind for sure. I tend to lean towards McCain.
I'm Peter Mayer in Hooksett, New Hampshire. All of the candidates are after an emerging, powerful New Hampshire voting bloc. Young voters, like many here at this huge indoor amusement center. What are their issues?
We really do have a morality problem in the country.
The health care issue is really important to me.
Taxes, I think, and I'm sick of paying taxes.
These voters could provide the ticket out of New Hampshire for some candidates. For the New Hampshire losers, though, it could be game over. Peter Mayer, CBS News, Hooksett, New Hampshire.
There are plenty of other candidates stumping down to the wire in the Granite State, even though they don't stand a chance of victory. Here's CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato.
Jim Taylor for president.
Jim Taylor can't feast on the publicity of Bush or Gore gets. He must sing for his supper.
You get the idea.
He's one of 22 fringe presidential candidates on the campaign trail here, off the beaten path. Many demand a smaller, simpler government. Some battle for individual causes. All are fighting to keep Americans involved.
Washington is not a self-cleaning oven.
The greatest problem in this nation is cynicism and apathy.
During a debate in front of C-SPAN cameras, they had a chance to make their cases. Even there, though, they were muzzled by strict time limits. But as Heather Harder proved when she tried spelling out her three-point plan, the voices of democracy cannot be silenced.
That is important for curtailing the power. The third is a national referendum, so we can speak to the issues that haven't been spoke to. Thank you.
Barry Bagnato, CBS News.
Good ending.
Manchester.
Cat's Cradle and Slaughterhouse-Five author Kurt Vonnegut hospitalized with smoke inhalation after a fire at his Manhattan home. His wife and daughter were not hurt. A newspaper claims Vonnegut had been smoking while watching the Super Bowl and that the blaze erupted when he stepped away for a moment. Illinois Governor George Ryan's expected to put a hold on executions today, a welcome development to Tom Gradell at the death penalty moratorium campaign.
I think the evidence finally piled up, and the governor is a practical man. He could see that this was going to be a continuous problem, and he decided to declare a moratorium until he could straighten it out, and I think that's very good.
Illinois has cleared 13 death row inmates since capital punishment was reinstated in 1977. That's one more than it's executed. Investigation underway into the crash of a Kenya Airways Airbus. About 170 people feared dead, only 10 survivors, after the aircraft plunged into the sea shortly after taking off from Abidjan. Personal incomes up 0.3% in December, but we spent that all and more. Consumer spending was ahead by 0.8%. On Wall Street right now, the Dow Industrials ahead by 79 points. The Nasdaq Composite is off 20. NASA says it's not going to hit the beginning of the launch window for Shuttle Endeavour a few hours from now because of bad weather that's lingering around the area. Endeavour's to spend 11 days producing the most accurate radar topographic maps of Earth ever. A milestone in Moscow. CBS News reporter Bill Gasparini tells us it's been exactly 10 years since the Golden Arches first rose over the Russian capital.
It's a happy day here at the first Russian McDonald's, and there's no better way to celebrate than in true Russian fashion with a balalaika band. There are people dressed up as Russian cartoon characters to entertain the children, but most people here are doing what they've always done for the past 10 years, devour Big Macs, French fries, and hamburgers. 10 years ago, long lines formed outside the restaurant because McDonald's was one of the few places which had food at a time of great shortage. Those times are long gone, but this restaurant's still the busiest McDonald's in the world. Bill Gasparini, CBS News at McDonald's in Moscow.
And that's the World News Roundup. I'm Christopher Glenn, CBS News.